Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. For this week's pod, we've come to New Broadcasting House to meet Hugh Stevens. We'll talk about his programmes for Radio 1, the success of BBC Introducing, and the launch of his new Friday breakfast show for the Welsh language station BBC Cymru Dau, which launches on Monday. And of course, we've got the latest industry news and radio moments too.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
So, Hugh Stevens, where have you brought me?
This is the eighth floor of NBH, and this is where Radio 1, One Extra and Asia Network broadcasts from. And this is like a little corner. We're kind of between the 8th and 7th
floor.
It's a corridor.
It's a mezzanine, probably.
I'm afraid so, yeah. But they used to have two really comfortable chairs here, but they swapped them for just standard ones, cutbacks. So that's why we're here.
Well, they knew we were coming. So what are you still doing for Radio 1? Before we talk about why I'm really here, what are you doing for Radio 1 still?
Well, I've got the pleasure of doing three shows every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. I do a two-hour show of new bands and alternative sounds, and I absolutely love it. I get a Made of Ale session every week from a different artist. We do play album tracks, we chat to interesting musicians, and it's all about the real new stuff, you know, the bands that play in venues, the bands that I love, bands who release quality albums. Yeah, it's great.
The great complaint from DJs, particularly in the commercial sector, but also in other parts of the BBC, is they have no say over what they play. So to what extent can you pick what you put out on the radio?
I have two producers, Jacob and Abby, and they have a say. But mostly, I have complete free reign, you know, which is incredible. When Annie Mac comes on air at 7 onwards till the early hours, the specialist DJs, we choose what we want to play with no playlist from a playlist team or anything like that, which is such a luxury, you know, and I realise how lucky I am. So you take it seriously and you try and be fair, you try and listen to everything that you're sent and find stuff that's out there. Mostly it's free, it's complete freedom. What a luxury.
Well, it is, isn't it? And I was wondering to what extent you feel required to play records, silly word, I know, that come out on labels. Is it important to you that a piece of music has been published or released or any of those old-fashioned phrases, or can it just be something that someone's cooked up in their bedroom or garage?
It can be something that someone's just recorded or put online themselves. Simple as that. But I'm a label man. I love record labels. I love, you know, especially the independent labels. I've got a real interest in what Rough Trade and Domino and Wichita and Moshi Moshi put out next, because I trust them, you know, and their track record speaks for themselves. So I do care about labels, but, you know, it's a totally different world now, and it doesn't really matter if you're on label, if you've got publishing, manager, agent, any of that. We had a guy called Hack Baker in session last night at Maida Vale. He has no manager, he has no label. He has a live agent because he wants to play gigs. That's really important, but that's it. That's all he has. So BBC Introducing as well has made it possible for people to record, upload and get played on the BBC themselves. So the BBC Introducing thing is a big part of my show as well.
Well, let's talk about that, because I spent some time in the last couple of weeks with Dean Jackson in Nottingham.
Excellent.
Who, of course, discovered, quote-unquote, Jake Bugg. That does seem to be, BBC Introducing, a really good example of BBC public service broadcasting where the roots have really stretched out and become deep.
Yeah, it's been going for over 10 years now, and we had a big celebration last year. And it's thanks to DJs like Dean Jackson, you know, at Introducing in Nottingham, who care about where they live and care about music and about broadcasting, and then they bring all that together on their weekly shows. So what I love about Introducing is there's no prize, there's no, you don't win anything, it's not a competition, it's purely a resource for brilliant bands and musicians and artists to use. So if you make music locally and you want it to be heard locally and on Radio 1 and on One Extra and on Six Music and Asia Network, then that can happen.
Drop some names.
Well, from Introducing. Well, I mean, if you look at who played the 10th birthday in Brixton Academy last year, it was George Ezra. The Big Moon played, Slaves played. I mean, there's so many artists from like JME and Skepta playing the first ever Introducing stage at Glastonbury, to Steve Lamacq taking Florence and the Machine out to South by Southwest when nobody knew who she was. There's countless stories. You know, BBC Introducing is, luckily, we don't have to just count on one or two names now to sell BBC Introducing. People know who it is. And if you're an artist, you know what introducing is now. It's become that important. And you're totally right. It's totally what the BBC should and has been doing. You know, it's total public service.
Is it too fey or trivial to say that one can feel with BBC introducing the ghost of John Peel in these corridors?
Well, I think so. I mean, the ghost of John Peel in these corridors, you know, and in Six Music's corridors, I think are massive. And that's a great thing that that station's carrying on everything that he did, I think. And BBC introducing, yeah, I mean, you know, Peel would get hundreds of demos every week from around the world. And, you know, there's the stories of him listening to it in the car, and if he liked it, he put it on the back seat, I think.
Or... He didn't put them on the back seat. He threw them. Right, yeah. He tossed them over his shoulder.
So naturally, we all get less CDs now. You know, we still get them. Still got pigeonholes. But, yeah, it's a good way. It's a great way of artists getting their music to the DJ without any politics and without a stamp.
So what does success look like in your world as a music discoverer? You know, are you constantly on the lookout for the next big thing? And I just ask you this in the context of, you know, when I worked with John, one of the great infuriations about him was as soon as he had discovered somebody who he really liked and got behind and made them successful, he then, of course, dropped them like a ton of bricks because they were too fashionable.
Well, I get that because your job's done when somebody starts getting to number one and starts selling as much music and gigs and whatever that they do sell. So I don't think we don't look for the next big thing. We look for things that we love, that we're passionate about. There is no magic formula to being a successful musician or being a successful DJ. It's about so many different things, I think. So in terms of music, talk to any of the nighttime DJs. They play stuff that they love. Sometimes they'll go on to sell stadiums, you know, and sometimes they won't. So success for me is, I was thinking about this before Christmas, it's about making and releasing music, putting it online, you know, making an album, whatever that releasing is. It's about making music and getting something out of it. It might not be a living, but it might be gigs, it might be contacts, it might be some tours here and there, but that's a real achievement. And I think sometimes in the music industry, people are quite brutal. They're like, well, that band's over. And they've been dropped. They're over. I quite like it when a band gets dropped and they carry on, because sometimes they'll get a sense of freedom and they'll get a sense of purpose. And it's different for everybody, I think. Success is different for everyone.
Hugh, you've been at this since you were 17.
Yeah.
And that's well over a couple of years ago. Is this how you visualised it when you first came in through the big doors of what was then, I guess, Egton House?
No, it was Yalding.
Yalding?
Yeah, Yalding House on Great Portland Street, which is probably the street I've walked down the most, probably, well, at least once a week in my life. How lucky is that, you know? Well, we started the session in Wales, so Radio 1 were devolving parts of the evening session back then. And it was a really exciting time because you had devolution happening and, you know, politically, and then the shows kind of reflected that. So Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales had their own shows. Me and Beth and Elvin were the Welsh DJs. So Steve Lamacq would be on air, then there'd be an opt-out and those parts of the UK would have their own shows. And then, I've carried on ever since. And I don't think you know what's going to happen in the future. You know, you're on a year-by-year contract and you don't know how long it's going to last for. So if you'd have told me back then that I'd still be here, I wouldn't have believed you. I'd be thrilled, obviously.
Well, you've got a new opportunity now, just dawning, Radio Cymru 2.
Yes.
Tell me what that is, first of all, in Welsh.
Well, mae Radio Cymru wedi bod yn mynd ers 40 o flynyddoedd. Radio Cymru's been going for 40 years. And this is the second stage of Radio Cymru, if you like.
But they already do a breakfast show, don't they, on Radio Cymru? So what are you going to be doing?
Well, I mean, Radio Cymru is... I find myself explaining this to people, because if you're not in Wales and you're not a Welsh speaker, sometimes people go, is that Radio Wales? So there's two BBC stations in Wales. There's BBC Radio Wales and there's BBC Radio Cymru. Radio Wales is in English and Radio Cymru is in Welsh. So that's a whole station from early breakfast show till nighttime. And then this, Radio Cymru 2, is brand new. It's starting very soon and it's a breakfast show 7 days a week. So if you tune into Radio Cymru 2, you'll hear the breakfast show and everything else that Radio Cymru has on offer. Whilst on Radio Cymru, there'll be the news show. And we all know news is fake news. All news is fake news now. So people will definitely want to listen to pop music in the morning.
So you're not doing a Nicky Campbell. You're not going, oh, I used to be a DJ, but now I'm a philosopher.
Oh, I wish. No, I'd like to. I'm not
so
that
So you will clever. Be doing an entertainment programme?
Yeah, it's going to be a breakfast show. So I do Friday mornings from 6.30 till 8.30am. Dav and Carol, who used to be on Radio Cymru, and then they went off for a bit. They're back doing the breakfast show Monday to Thursday. And there's a weekend show on a Saturday morning with Lisa Angharad and Lisa Gwilym, who's also got a show on Radio Cymru, does the Sunday morning breakfast show then. So it's a huge development, really. Ever since I got into music, we always thought it'd be great if there'd be another Welsh language offering, you know, because we're in Wales. We speak Welsh. We listen to Welsh music. There's great music being made out there. And
so do you feel as though you should be playing a lot of Welsh music in that show?
It'll be mostly Welsh language music. The show I do currently on Thursday night on actual Radio Cymru is most, it's like 95% Welsh language music. And there's no shortage of it. You know, I do a new music show of Welsh language stuff. And all the nighttime shows tend to focus on new music. And there's such a rich scene. And you wouldn't know about it, I guess, unless you spoke Welsh, unless you had an interest in it. So that's part of what I try and do, is try and bring that music to a new audience through gigs and through the radio show and things like that. So that'll be, you know, I think there's, yeah, it's very much focused on the Welsh language scene, but with a smattering of non-Welsh language music as
and
well.
Are you going to be doing that show from here?
No, I live in Cardiff, so I come up to London to do my Radio 1 shows currently. So I'll be doing it from BBC Llandaf in Cardiff, the capital of Wales.
Well, it sounds fantastic. And are they going to give you the same sort of freedom as you get here, as you were saying?
I think so. I mean, there's a team of producers, and because it's a breakfast show, they've got to get the music right. But we have a dedicated news service, which will be broadcast from the Aberystwyth studios. Some of the shows come from Bangor in North Wales. And it's just about giving people choice, really. You know, if they don't want the news on Radio Cymru, retune to Radio Cymru Dai, and you'll get a whole new show of music, of entertainment, of news. But it'll be hopefully a breath of fresh air for people in the mornings, because obviously the different BBC stations have different commitments and news is a big part of that. So I can see why they couldn't just replace the news on Radio Cymru with this show. So Bet Sampois, who's the editor of Radio Cymru, has really fought to get this off the ground. And as I've learned over the years, yeah, it takes a lot of meetings and a lot of discussions to get things like this happening. So it's very exciting, and I hope people will listen, and hopefully it'll be a success.
And it's on the DAB and the telly and all those things?
That's right. So if you tune to Radio Cymru Dai too, you will get the breakfast show and the rest of Radio Cymru's output if you stick on Radio Cymru. And I think this happens a lot anyway, you know, with sport programmes overtaking shows and things. So it's a new start, and I guess hopefully, I mean, it's not my decision, but hopefully there'll be more shows on Radio Cymru too in the future as well, just to give people more choice in Wales.
Well, I'm sure everybody wishes you the best of luck. Thanks for talking to the Radio Today programme.
What a pleasure. Thanks, Trevor.
Would you do a little bit of work? Would you introduce the latest news with Stuart Clarkson in Welsh?
Chi'n gwrando ar Radio Today gyda'r unigryw Trevor Dan, ac nawr mae'n amser am y newyddion o'r byd radio gyda'r hyfryd Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Hugh and Trevor. Big news from Absolute Radio this week as Christian O'Connell announced he's leaving the station's breakfast show after 12 years, and he's leaving the UK as well in the coming months. The OC is rumoured to be off to take up a new radio job in Australia. Bauer says his replacement will be announced soon. Tributes have been paid this week to Five Live football pundit and summariser Jimmy Armfield, who's died aged 82. Jimmy started on BBC Radio in 1980 after a long playing and managerial career. Global's had the chequebook out again this week and has bought Juice 107.2 in Brighton. The station's expected to be rebranded to join the Capital Network once the deal is complete. Celador is facing a challenge for two of its licences. Town 102 faces competition from Ipswich FM, which is jointly owned by Lynx FM Group, Nation Broadcasting and Muxco. Nation is also behind Bristol Sound, which has applied for the re-advertised licence in Bristol, currently run by Celador as The Breeze. BBC Local Radio is moving division within the BBC, from news to nations and regions. Ken Macquarie will take over running of English regions in addition to his current job in charge of services across Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. The changes take effect from April. Radio 1 is tweaking its weekend schedule from the end of February. Maya Jammer will present Radio 1's greatest hits on a Saturday morning, with Jordan North on the Sunday morning show. Matt Edmondson takes over weekend afternoons, where he'll be joined by celebrity co-hosts, including Scarlett Moffat and Molly King to start with, and Dev and Alice Levine will team up for Weekend Breakfast. And the nominations are out for this year's Hospital Radio Awards. They're going to be given out at the HBA conference in Windsor at the end of March, and you can see all the shortlists at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stuart. David Lloyd up next after this.
Visual radio smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk. Radio
Farewell was a lonely sound this week last year for Janice Long.
And I want to thank you because I've made some great friendships with you all. It's been fantastic. I know so many people all over the UK and all over the world who have been very kind to me, and I really appreciate all your support and all of your emails. And I thank you for your time, and I thank you for letting me into your lives. And this is my final tune. Echo and the Bunnymen, and Nothing Ever Lasts Forever.
We've all been there, haven't we? The final Janice Long programme on Radio 2 this week last year. She's back on air now at Radio Wales. She started at Radio 1 in 82. Janice
Long! Coming up in the show tonight, apart from music, well, Godfrey will be giving us an insight into Northern music. Mark my words, is looking at what's been happening. We've connections, three records.
To 1975 now, and Scotland gets its second commercial radio station. Richard Findlay was programme controller.
This is not only a historic occasion for all of us here in East Central Scotland, but it's also a deeply moving one, despite the hour of the day. Because at long last, we here in the East have our own radio station. A station that belongs to us, and to us alone. A station that we can guide and shape. A station in which everyone can play an important role. A station that will listen as often as it speaks. Radio 4th belongs to us all.
Richard Findlay, who died last July. He stayed with the station around 30 years, and before that had been in the Capital newsroom as it launched in 73.
Like this one from our very own chart-topping group here in Scotland, Pilot.
Happy 43rd anniversary to Radio 4th in Edinburgh. When it comes to stunts, BRMB mounted more than most, generally safely. One of the most famous was this week in 1999.
Okay, so this is the deal then. You marry the complete stranger on Monday. You have got Monday free, haven't you, just in case it's you?
Yeah.
You don't have to go to work or anything like that.
Okay, good.
So they marry the complete stranger. They won't have met until they get to the altar. Are you fine with that?
No problem.
Yeah?
Mad. Absolutely mad.
That's the thing. They get married. Then they have the honeymoon of a lifetime. You go off to this top resort.
Mike Owen was in charge of press for the event, and he said things were quiet at first, but that changed.
I was mobbed by not only the UK media, the UK popular press, radio, television. Unprecedented for, you know, one radio station in one city in the UK to get this level of international interest, American television, and it was the first reality broadcast. It really was the start of taking ordinary people and putting them in extraordinary situations.
Mike Owen speaking on Two Strangers and a Wedding, which aired in Birmingham this week in 99. To 1992 now, and a dramatic new promise from BBC Local Radio.
on 95.4 FM in Slough, Windsor and Maidenhead, and 104.1 FM in Reading, Bracknell, Wokingham, Newbury and your town or village in West Berkshire. This is a test transmission for BBC Radio Berkshire. The new BBC local news and information service for the county of Berkshire is on air at 6:30 a.m. on Tuesday, January the 21st, 1992, on this frequency.
Good grief. Nothing like a low-key launch, is there? Goodness. The launch of BBC Radio Berkshire, the station which completed the then-planned BBC local radio network. Simon Major was the editor.
And the equipment arrived, the engineers arrived, the architects, everything. And watching them collaborate was the most wonderful experience. But the best of all has been watching the programmes come together.
From studios in Reading, Maidenhead, Bracknell, Slough, Wokingham and Newbury, BBC Radio Berkshire will offer a unique mix of local, national and international news, sport, weather and travel information for the county of Berkshire.
It can't possibly get any more dramatic.
Hello, Terry Wogan here. On the 21st of January next year, BBC Radio Berkshire starts broadcasting. But for one day only, on November the 22nd, it'll be open for children in need.
And after all that, the station had already been on air anyway. Nicely done, though, the launch of BBC Radio Berkshire. Staying with matters dramatic, but more seriously, this week in 1965, the BBC broke the news the country had lost a great leader. Imagine how this flash would be covered nowadays, and these gaps are in real time. And no long final pip back then either.
This is London. Here is a news flash. This is London. We have just heard that Sir Winston Churchill has died.
You can hear the clock ticking.
That is the end of this news flash from the BBC, London. There'll be a news broadcast in 15 minutes' time at 09:15 Greenwich Mean Time.
And solemn music followed. Those few words apparently had been typed out 3 years before. So, with the Radio Caroline ship Mi Amigo losing her anchor in a Force 8 storm 52 years ago...
I remember him saying, Mayday, in a very, very quiet voice, and I thought, that's a bit too late.
Red Rose 999 in Preston, replacing Red Rose Gold 21 years ago.
A fond farewell to Red Rose Gold.
The first English programmes beamed in on 208 67 years ago.
This is Radio Luxembourg on our new frequency, 208 metres on the medium wave band.
Jonathan Ross returning to his Saturday Radio 2 show after his 12-week suspension 9 years ago.
And then it was in my head and then it came out.
And BBC Radio Blackburn launching 47 years ago, later Radio Lancashire.
Here's your station manager, John Musgrave.
Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Moments. Thank you, David Lloyd, also Stu Clarkson and Hugh Stevens. This has been a TDC production. I'm Trevor Dan. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.